Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 267 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. Nothing's changed, folks. Nothing's changed. We've got another great episode for you this week. Peter of the band Ebu is going to be joining us here shortly in the backyard. He actually just left. I normally don't do this. Sometimes I have these episodes lying in wait for, or these chats lying in wait for their episode to come around. This one happened tonight, man. Yeah. We're doing it in conjunction with his release, self-titled full length, that comes out on Friday of this week, September 18th, 2015, Year of Our Lord. Did I even say that right? I don't know. Out on Barsook Records. And let me tell you, this album is amazing. We're going to be featuring tunes from it, three songs to be exact, throughout the episode. So, you're really going to enjoy this. It's been a really long time since a record has made me want to dance, and this is one of those records. And I'm not a dancer, man, and we talk about this a little bit later in the program, but yeah, I don't like to dance in front of people, man. But the other day, I think it was just yesterday, I was painting the house, still working on my painting project. We're going on, 1 month? That I've been painting my house now. God, it never ends. It never ends. This is the project that will never be done. I'm still not done. Been going on for a month. Just finding a couple hours here and there where I can actually get to it. But anyway, I digress. I was listening to this self-titled release, Ebu. And I'm like standing on this ladder, like 6 feet off the ground, painting my gutters, and I'm just fucking going for it, man. I'm just dancing on this ladder, just dancing, bobbing, weaving, painting. Unbelievable record. Every song on this thing is a total jam. I urge you to go out to your record store, buy a copy of this record when it comes out on Friday, September 18th, 2015. If you're listening to this in 2016, it's already out. Go grab it. Maybe he's got even a new record out right now. Okay? All right. Well, anyway, we're going to be talking to Peter here in a bit. We want to remind you guys, like the pre-roll said, we are now part of the Adore Network at adore.fm. You can go and visit it right there. There's a number of shows on this fantastic new network put out by Spreaker.com, which we are a part of. We've still got, like we said in last week's episode, we've still got some issues with the website, with our current website at air-raid.net. So if you stream the show, not if you download it, we're collecting all those numbers that we need to for advertising purposes and so on. But if you're streaming the show, we have no idea how many people are streaming the show. So we'd like you guys to go to adore.fm. It's a little bit of a change for you. I'm sorry, but we need to know how many people are listening to this darn thing. We haven't been able to do that up until this point. So We want you to go to adore.fm and stream the show from there, from the Spreaker player, until we get everything worked out at the website, okay? You can still access all of the archived episodes at air-raid.net with folks like, what, Duff McKagan, founding member of Guns N' Roses? How about Mike McCready of Pearl Jam? How about Chris Walla, formerly of Death Cab for Cutie? He was in Death Cab for Cutie when he was on the show. How about comedians like Bob Saget, Jim Brewer, Aisha Tyler, Brian Posehn, Mike Birbiglia, Jamie Kennedy? Man, oh, let me tell you this. We got a ton of feedback about our episode with Jamie Kennedy. Do you remember Jamie Kennedy? He was on the he was on that movie Scream, Scream 1, Scream 2. I believe he was even in Scream 3, but he may die in that one. Anyway, Jamie Kennedy, dude, a lot of people, you know, had some, you know, thoughts about Jamie Kennedy before they listened to that episode. And then all of a sudden, big fans of Jamie Kennedy. Let me tell you, that was a great, epic conversation with that dude. So, you can find it all there at air-raid.net. All right. So yeah, you can access the archives there, but we'd like you to stream the current episodes from adore.fm. Does that make sense? Wow, that was a long plug, wasn't it? Long plug for, you know, new stuff happening. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up for your ears on the Air Raid podcast as well, man. We got a lot of great guests coming up for you guys. So stay with us on all of that stuff. All right. Went to Bumbershoot. Let's see. Just, what was it? Last weekend? Yeah. Had a great chat with somebody that's going to be coming up, next month. So we'll be putting that out there. Man, Bumbershoot, let me tell you, music festivals, buddy, music festivals. Ibu was playing there, but didn't get to catch them. But man, I am getting very efficient at doing what I need to do for this show. And, you know, got the kids, my wife, she doesn't want me going out at all hours of the day trying to get interviews for something that doesn't, you know, this show does not pay us very much. All right. We get very little monetary, compensation for doing this show, but it's something I love to do. So I got to go get these interviews somehow. Right. But man, I have really, like, me and Mairead, my lovely, lovely wife, had to sit down and talk about things the other day and about how much time I spend on doing this show and how much time I'm spending on being a father. And it was a very frank and earnest conversation that we needed to have, because I have been putting more and more time into getting these interviews and doing this thing. And I'm not very great at budgeting my time. So we had this chat. It was kind of a come-to-Jesus moment for me, and maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more next week when I've got some more time. But we worked it out, man, and I went down to Bumbershoot, got in, got my press credentials, you know, got the whole pat down. They do the whole thing, and then sat and watched the performance of the guy that I was going to interview there, and then, you know, did it. We had a great conversation. And then I came home. I even found a parking spot for free in Seattle, which is unheard of, mind you, for a thing like Bumbershoot. That was great, man. That was awesome. So anyway, that's coming up. But yeah, come to Jesus moment. I'm going to start being a better dad. I know this is very vague. I kind of got into this right at the last moment. I should have saved this maybe for next week, just chatting with you guys about my problems. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it, shall we? Let's hear some music from Ibu. This is currently unreleased. Comes out on Friday. Man, did I feel pretty cool getting a copy of this thing. I'll tell you what. Like I said, every song on this album is just absolutely amazing. Comes out this Friday, September 18th, on Barsook Records. Band is called Ibu. We're talking with Peter right after this. The song is called Dissolve. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us. So, I was sent your record by Barstool a couple of weeks ago, and I don't dance a lot, but this record made me want to dance. Like, I was painting my house just yesterday and listening to one of the songs that we're going to play a little bit later in the show, Hideaway, and I was literally dancing on my ladder.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, man.
That's something.
Yeah, yeah. Great accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's kind of a dance-centric album. I think most of the songs started with a beat of some sort and a rhythm.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from.
Now, how old are you, Peter?
Just turned 22.
You just turned 22.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of 80s influence in this record.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Parents growing up.
Yeah?
Yeah, they would constantly be playing The Cure and The Smiths and Joy Division, all those guys.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
So they were like super into music.
Yeah, oh yeah, very musical family.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They play instruments too?
Yeah, my dad is the big music guy. He's like an amazing fiddle player and banjo player and mandolin player. He plays a lot of Irish stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, and my mom played a little piano, less so musically inclined, and then my brother would... I kind of took after him taking piano lessons.
Older brother?
Yeah, older brother. Seven years older.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big gap.
Yeah, it's a weird gap because like right when I was going into middle school, where I feel like you start kind of becoming a person a little bit, he was leaving for college. So there was like, it's a weird relationship where now we get to see each other a little more, but it's kind of what happened?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I can, and is that your only sibling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems a little odd. Like I tried to be the bigger brother to my little brother and like, you know, bestow all my musical knowledge on that.
Yeah.
On him. On that. That's weird.
No, but, it's good. It's better.
but it didn't work out. It didn't work out. Did it work out in your case? No,
he kind of started doing his own thing, got into law, and then I kept doing the music thing. And now he's a lawyer and he kind of, you know, comes to me for... that. So I'm the older brother in the older musical brother kind of.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. That works out.
Which is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. So you grew up here in Seattle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Just Green Lake. I still live in the same house that I was born and raised in. Right. If anybody knows the area, right where that Zocca Coffee is. And Radio Donuts.
Totally, man.
It's right there. Diggity Dog. I'm a big Diggity Dog fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So good. Right on. So what was that? What was life like growing up here in the Seattle area?
It was awesome. I think you can
as a kid
totally. It totally reflects on the music, all the music that I write. And yeah, I mean, whenever I come home from a tour, my head's filled with all these new places, and it just still feels so awesome to come back here.
Yeah,
it's like, and you drive into so many cities day after day, you see all the different skylines, and you get a different vibe whenever you're going to a new city on tour. And I still just firmly believe that even if I was coming to Seattle for the first time, I'd be super blown away.
Really?
And I still am every time I come home.
Yeah?
It feels like
something
new.
Like how? Explain that a little bit.
I mean, it helps that it does have one of the most scenic entries. Like you drive right under downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
And or if you're coming from
and you see the water and you see the Olympic Mountains on a clear day and everything like that, yeah.
That's just me. That's what I like. Yeah.
I don't think you could have possibly had a cheesier answer.
That's good. That's just who I am.
That's just who I am, man. Yeah, yeah. So what does ibu mean?
It means owl in French.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I probably could have looked that up.
Probably, but whatever.
Yeah?
It's...
is there any significance there?
There is.
For you?
You know, Whidbey Island. Whidbey Island is an island in Washington. It's like I think it's the largest island in the continental U.S. I think they got into some lawsuit with Long Island, because Long Island had some slogan that was like...
Really?
Largest island in the U.S. Whidbey Island was like, no.
No, we're going to take you to court over
it, think that's true. it might have been a rumor. Anyways... my family has a cabin up there, and there was a baby owl one time that I befriended and told everyone about it. A friend came home from France with a glass owl for me, and on the tag it said, ibu means owl. I figured it out then, and I was like, hey, I could work with that.
Yeah. What was it? Did you find the owl somewhere? Like, was it like out of its nest or something?
It came and just sat by me for way too long, which was kind of freaky at the time, but then... stuck with me.
And it was just like a little baby owl?
It was a tiny little baby owl. I kept looking up. I was playing music. Like, it sounds like way too perfect of a story.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
No, it would just like kind of look up at me and like bob its head a little bit and then flew away. And I never saw it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. My only experience like getting that close to an owl is we were driving on, I think, on some pass. We used to go on camping trips all the time.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what pass we were on. Maybe it was Blewett or something like that. And my dad spotted this thing that like kind of like was hobbling along on the highway and then jumped off this little cliff, this little embankment on the side of the highway. And so he slowed the car down, got out, and it was a great horned owl, and it had been injured somehow.
Oh, man,
it's
really
like wing was broken or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we got it. We picked it up, this enormous, enormous bird. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen what a great horned owl looks like, but it's huge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're big.
And we put it in the trunk of the car and took it to a veterinarian.
Nice.
Saved an owl.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, man. Like, they're like an endangered species, I believe.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear my pun?
Family of heroes.
Did you hear my pun?
No, I didn't.
I said that owl really blew it. Good one. I just wanted to make sure.
Good one. Are you into puns?
Oh, dude.
Is that a thing?
Very much into puns, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a... You think that's like a generational thing?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe. I don't know.
Huh.
It's definitely not a family thing. My parents hate puns, and my brother thinks I'm a geek for... But no, puns are great. Puns are just the best, man. It's like they're the true humor to me. I hate like all kinds of jokes, but puns are just, they come at you when you least expect them.
That's right.
So good.
That is part of it, right?
Yeah.
It just comes up in just normal conversation. You can just bring it up. And then people like me don't even register it. And it's funny to you.
I can't believe there's actually a thing called Blewett Pass. Like, that seems like a bad omen just in itself.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, really.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you grew up here in Seattle. Your parents were very musical people. What was the first instrument that you picked up?
Piano.
Yeah?
Yeah, after my brother, who was taking lessons, and then I started taking lessons when I was 3 and kept going and accumulated guitar and drum lessons.
Yeah.
And then... started playing in bands.
How old were you when you started playing in your first band?
My first show was at my 4th grade talent show. So however old I was in 4th grade. How old are you? Like 11 or something? Grade?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. 10, 11?
Yeah. Yeah, we were called the Stumps, and we were just totally like Green Day inspired. That was it. We were just playing basically Green Day songs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But your own stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you call it our own stuff. It was like... Green Day songs with my own weird words on top of it about being a frustrated little 4th grader. And then, yeah, I just kept going with different bands like every single year until I got to high school. And
do you remember that first, like, is it a solid memory that you have about that, that first time getting up on stage at 10 years old?
I mean, not really. It probably helps that there's a home video of it. So it's more of like a memory of going home right away and like watching the video and just like being like, oh my gosh, I'm on stage. That's me. Little, like I had this Folk Life shirt that was down to my knees because nothing fit me. But yeah, I don't know. I've never been one to really associate with stage fright, I don't think.
No.
So that being said, it never really... sticks with me like more than the average thing being on stage. Yeah.
Do you think that's a function of just being surrounded by music all the time and like knowing, like your dad probably played in front of people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe it's hereditary.
You
never know.
Or it's almost instinctual.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm trying to sound smart. that's all I'm doing here.
Lack of instinctual stage fright. And then, yeah.
So it was never a thing. It never bothered you getting up in front of people and showing people your art.
I got, like, my first kind of fit of stage fright, actually, just a few months ago when we did the Showbox. And that was just, that made sense. I mean, I grew up going to see my favorite bands play there.
Right,
and
right.
It was weird to be on that stage.
You built it up in your head about the importance of doing something like that.
Yeah. And then, when you're on tour, you're playing all these people you don't know, but that show was like my friends and my family. I felt like I had to beyond impressive.
But, yeah, yeah. Who are you playing with?
That was with Yael. She's like a French pop singer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that show.
Yeah, we did a short little tour with her.
Awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you basically, I mean, you've been touring since what, high school?
Yeah, like mid-high school.
Really?
I joined my friend Justin's band, Craftspells, as a drummer.
Oh, right.
And started doing online high school so I could tour. And
God, was that tough, man? Like having to do schoolwork on the road?
It was weird. It wasn't really, like, hard necessarily because, I don't know. It was almost easier for me. I never could adapt to, like, the brick-and-mortar school setting. Just my mind
just didn't work.
Make a block. Yeah, it was sure. Just not the way I was learning.
Yeah.
So if anything, I felt like I've actually started progressing more as someone who likes to study around the same time that I didn't have to worry about deadlines and all that. I actually started having fun learning as well as learning about touring and how that all worked.
Yeah.
And
then, yeah. Were those guys the same age?
No, they were all like 8-7 years older.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you get hooked up with that then?
My friend Jack, he was only like 3 years older. Uh-huh. We used to play in a lot of bands together, and then he knew Justin from the internet. Justin came up to play a show in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they invited me over because they had just been using a drum machine at that time. And I think I just started playing along to one of the songs, and Justin was like, "Hey, you want to play a show?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then the next night he was like, "You want to play another show?" I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Okay, cool. You want to tour Europe?" So that snowballed. And then
was that pretty exciting though?
Yeah. I mean, it was always kind of what I wanted to do. And yeah. then I got to do it at like way sooner than I thought I would be able to. So got
that's an early pretty amazing, start, man. Nice. Like, so were your parents worried at all that you were going to be, you know, trying to do school on your own?
Yeah, definitely. It took a lot of convincing, but I'm so thankful that they're such cool people because, yeah, it was just right at the beginning of junior year. And, yeah, I think they were definitely... I mean, who wouldn't be worried? That's
seems insane,
like
man.
Just waiting bad to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But luckily, it's working out so far. Yeah, I'd like to think.
How did your grades do?
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fine, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Straight D's.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I didn't fail. No, they were all right.
Oh, that's amazing, man. I always wonder about that. Like, you hear about, like, child actors and people, you know, kids that start off in one of those crazy businesses that have to basically, you know, do schoolwork on set. And I always wonder how that all works out. Like,
yeah.
Because I was not the type of kid that was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Ambitious in that regard,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I don't think I would have, like, the wherewithal to really make myself do that. Like, I even have trouble when I went to college. Like, my first year in college was a fucking shit show.
Oh, you can swear on here?
Yeah, yeah,
you can swear. Fuck yeah, yeah. Cool. All
right. But it was just, like I said, it was a total shit show. Like, I couldn't make myself do anything.
Yeah.
You know, except for sleep and get drunk.
Sure. I mean, well, that's what college is, you know.
Hey, kinda.
I don't know. I've never really been, but so that's what they tell me. That's what the movies do.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, you're living a totally different life, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's, you know, that's, you're getting... You're getting the experience that a college kid gets out in the real world, but you know
it's
you're
just
getting
in a different city every night. Yeah.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Did you feel special being able to do something like that and being such a young kid?
Yeah, I mean, special. That's a funny word, but I felt kind of just like very lucky. Yeah.
Uh huh.
And
you
it was
like the cool kid at school.
No, dude, I was not the cool kid at school. I didn't have a single friend.
How would you not be the cool kid at school?
Because it was weird.
Like, you're like, yeah, you're touring with a band.
Well,
in Europe.
Okay, maybe I was the cool kid in the online classes.
Okay.
But by that time, you know, you can't really...
That's log just in. Funny to think about. Yeah. Like, oh, it's the cool kid's here.
Cool kid's typing. Yeah. Yeah. But no, definitely like just didn't have any friends in high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird times.
That's it. Yeah. 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 School's like that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I always like really looked up to kids that were in bands, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think if somebody at my junior high, who was like touring with a national act, I mean, that would be pretty impressive to me. I would have tried to be friends with you.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
do it.
Let's Can we?
Back. Yeah.
Can we really?
But it was, no, it was that.
Eleanor's
that
a witness.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say hi, Eleanor.
Hello.
It's my girlfriend, Eleanor. She's very beautiful. Yeah, there wasn't a scene. You know Nathan Hale?
I know where it is and stuff. I didn't grow up here in the city. I grew up over on the Kitsap Peninsula.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Hale is a very, kind of just seems like it's sports-centric, and it wasn't really a big place for musicians to be, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. At least that's the way I perceived it at the
yeah.
time.
So you didn't meet like a lot of kids at that school that you could like play music with and stuff.
I met Jack, and that's kind of me and Jack. Mm-hmm. We're in a band called Boomtska together.
What?
Boomtska, like kick.
How's that spelled?
Boomtsskah. Boomtska.
Did you have to explain it like you just did to yeah. me, like to everybody?
You see how fast I spelled it out?
Yeah. I was in a band called The Huge.
How do you spell The Huge?
The Huge.
Oh, okay, just like The Usual?
Yeah, like cool. Usual. Like, what kind of music do you guys play? Oh, The Huge. It's like, you know.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's very clever. It's very punny.
You're right?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. It was spelled Y-U with an umlaut. Z-H.
Umlaut's good. Z-H.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Band of people, Z's in their name are just...
Dude, we
win.
Just hit it huge. Yeah. Hit it big.
Yeah.
That's how I can afford these microphones.
Yes.
let's see. So touring Europe as a teenager, I mean, did that just kind of blow your mind a little bit?
Yeah.
Did you learn a lot of stuff?
I learned a ton of stuff, mostly about just being with four other people constantly.
Right.
Yeah, there's no alone time on tour. So I started to learn that at a young age. And now I'm touring with all these people that I've never toured before and watching them learn it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a huge learning curve because you have to watch people just kind of adapt to not being able to be alone, which is a hard thing to do. You know, we just got home from tour, so I'm still in that weird, when I'm alone, I like don't know what to do with myself.
Right. Yeah. I hear that a lot. Yeah. I never got to experience that. And it's always interesting to me to talk to people that do it for a living. And I do, I hear that a lot. Like once you get off the road, like, you don't have anywhere else to be.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a...
I mean, yeah,
kind of screws
weird.
With your mind a little bit.
And it's like the whole time, at least when I'm on tour, I'm constantly thinking, like, I can't wait to get home and like, be alone. And then when you get home, you're just, like, in this... You go into this depression. It's weird.
Yeah.
You know, grass is always greener, but I think... I mean, I love touring, don't get me wrong, but there is always something in the back of my head that's like, oh, it'd be so great to just be, like, in my own bed right now. And when that time comes, it's just not what you thought it was going to be, man.
Why is it? Just because you're just bored? You think it's just that, like, severe boredom?
Oh, when I get back?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, touring is a lot of this, like, monotonous schedule, like, wake up, drive, sound check, show.
Eat Cheetos,
drink milk, hang with dad.
Cheetos with milk?
Cheetos with
milk. Gross.
Yeah, and then it's like you get home and then your mind's like, okay, where's the show? And your body's like, it's not here. That was really...
So how long were you guys on tour this last stint?
It was for 5 weeks. It was like a whole national run.
And did it end the Bumbershoot show? Was that the end of it, basically?
Kind of. There was a few weeks between that and the end of tour. Our last show was technically up in Bellingham.
Oh, gotcha.
At the Wild Buffalo, yeah.
And did you go up into Canada, too?
Yeah, we did Vancouver and Toronto.
How'd it go?
It went well, yeah. Toronto is one of my favorite cities. It's really, really cool to me there. And then Vancouver was strange. Like, there was a venue change last minute, so I think... And then a lot of people didn't get the memo, so there wasn't very many people there.
Ooh.
Which is fine. I mean, as long as I feel like I played a good show, then I'm happy with it.
Does that hurt, though? Does that kind of
hurt
the ego?
It's definitely like
a
morality thing, yeah. But, I mean, that's just the nature of it. I've played so many shows to, like, three or four people that I'm just used to it. But it is weird when you go to playing places like the El Rey Theater, and then the next night is... someplace in Las Vegas where there's like six people there.
Oh, man.
And you're just like, could you guys, like, we played a big crowds, I promise.
Right.
But, no,
we're
I mean, a big deal, guys.
I don't mind. I swear.
I think it's good for you, honestly, to, like, it's like you know, when it comes down to it, you're just another band trying to do your thing. It's, like, important to get that reality check that, like, these, you know, it's just, I don't know. That's important for me.
Yeah. Has it been growing, though?
It has, yeah. Which is cool to see. But, you know, it grows first in the bigger cities, obviously.
Sure, sure.
So, we, and, you know, we try to get some shows from place to place. So we end up playing, I'm not going to shit talk any cities. So blank, everyone think of your worst city in your head. And we'll play that city. And yeah, and then it is kind of like self-deprecating to book those shows. Uh-huh. But whatever.
I like how you just did that, because so many people have come and sat in that seat that you're sitting in right now and just ripped like Oklahoma City apart.
Yeah.
And then they're like, afterwards, they're like, hey, can you take that out?
No, you gotta be careful.
Can you edit that?
Yeah. I like Oklahoma. I do, man. Or at least Nebraska. Let's see. No, wait. I'm thinking of a different... Never mind. Let's move on.
We'll cut that out, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So is it... I mean, is that... I asked you before if you get nervous on stage, but like I would imagine that if, let's use this scenario, you're playing the El Rey Theater and it's packed, and then you go the next night and you play in Las Vegas for like six people.
Uh-huh.
Is that kind of a nerve-wracking experience?
The change?
Yeah. I mean, just like being up on stage in front of just six, like...
I mean, I think
you say that it doesn't faze you very much, and I believe you to a certain extent, but it's got to, that's a huge difference.
I mean, you can ask, I feel like, anybody that's ever played in the band, like, it's the same show every night.
Sure.
And I can't speak for how they're feeling. Like, you know, sure, sometimes we'll get off the stage and they'll be like, man, that was, like, so hard to play to three people, And you know, I do agree with when a song finishes, everyone wants to hear a huge applause.
Yeah,
and
sure.
When it's just like, woo, I get a gin and tonic. You know, but I don't know, there's something funny to be found in that.
Yeah. But does it sap the energy, though?
No.
Like when you guys play?
No, because then you just have another drink and it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just keep it roaring. Keep it roaring.
Keep it roaring.
Keep it roaring.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's take our second musical break. We're featuring music off of, what is this, your first full-length?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Debut.
Out on September 18th on Barsook Records. It's a self-titled Ibu.
Mm.
And this song is called Eleanor, which is named after the girl that's sitting on the couch right now. In the background.
Different Eleanor.
Oh,
no,
man.
No.
Weird. Oh, man. Talk about sapping energy out of a room. Okay, we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears when we return. Enjoy.
Yeah.
So, when did Ebu start?
That's an interesting question, because it was, you know, it's gone through its phases, and it probably started back when I was a sophomore in high school, but mm-hmm. it was a different band. It just had the same name.
Yeah.
We were making, like, tropical pop songs, and then for a while...
You're just all about the pop, man.
Yeah, I like pop. Yeah. Well, no, it was like a Moombaton kind of reggae, like, not reggae, reggaeton.
Shut up.
No, for a little bit there.
You ever look back on that?
If you dig deep enough.
Oh, man.
Dude. No, there's some slamming jammers
yeah,
on there, for sure.
Some slamming jammins?
Yeah, slamming jammins. yeah, it was like that for a little bit, and then it was like a video project for a little bit. So the name Ebu has been around for...
So it's basically just an evolving art project for
yeah,
you a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Just same name.
Yeah,
But these songs that are happening right now have been making their way out... For about 3 years, a little under 3 years.
Yeah. And I read a little bit on it. Some of these had been released on an EP,
mm-hmm.
right? that was like recorded in your parents' house.
The EP was recorded in my studio apartment in the walk-in closet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What was recorded in your parents' house?
This upcoming album.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's what you were talking about, like there's sounds from like your dad like working on the house?
Yeah.
Like in the background?
Cooking, yeah, doing his whatever he does.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like mostly there's a couple songs where if I were to point them out, you could definitely never not hear it again.
Right.
But a lot of it was like, you know, I recorded this all and I am by no means an audio engineer. So it was during the mixing process when I flew down to Los Angeles and we'd be going mm-hmm. through the isolated tracks.
Right,
and
right.
My dad in the background would be like, goddamn chicken.
Are you serious? Like, you can hear that kind of stuff?
Yeah, dude.
That's amazing.
I mean, he's like right next to me, so.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it really makes I mean, I can't imagine it without that stuff in there now.
Yeah, no, you got it. Because like, it's part of it.
Yeah.
Paul
yeah.
Michelle.
That's awesome.
I know. Hopefully he doesn't, like, sue me for not crediting him. That'd be bad.
Playing the spoons
yeah.
in the background, the spoons and the tin pans. The meat hammer.
Yeah.
They do a lot of tenderizing in
like
your house.
Saying those two words together. Meat hammer.
So, yeah, like, I mean, this record, I've been playing it nonstop for the last couple weeks, and... It's just so, I mean, every song on this record, dude, is just solid.
Thank you.
Just extremely solid. Did you have, like, this has got to be pretty exciting for this
yeah.
record to come out.
It's a little freaky. I mean, you only get one debut album in your life.
That's what's freaky?
Yeah.
Just having a debut?
Well, it's like the world's first impression.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I get that.
I mean, it's like, yeah, if... I feel like if you strike out with your debut album, it's that much harder to get it up again.
Are there fears that this is going to be a strikeout for you?
Oh, totally.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you been hearing what people are saying about it, though?
Yeah, but, I mean, people like to be nice. It hasn't even come out yet.
I did. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just wait till Pitchfork gets their hands on it. And
oh, man.
You can't
pay attention to Pitchfork.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just pay attention to Air Raid. That's
okay,
all you need.
Cool.
That's all you need, man.
Yeah. But no, I'm glad you like it. I mean, that's good enough.
Yeah, I love it. Like I said, I mean, it makes me want to dance, which I hate doing.
Sorry
you
about
know?
That. Yeah. I do apologize.
Yeah.
I can
yeah.
make some remixes for you that are just really slow.
Really slow?
Yeah, sad.
Just go Grave Babies on it, man.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. We had them in the in here a little while ago.
Oh, really?
And their album is really good too.
They have a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fantastic, and it's very very 80s inspired as well. But it's dark as shit.
Nice.
It's very dark.
Yeah,
yeah. You don't dance to that.
No.
You just kind of bob your
get
head.
Get moody
a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah. Do people have you been finding that people are dancing a lot at your shows?
Yeah.
Even
which
here
is great.
In Seattle.
Even here in Seattle. Not as much.
Not as much?
There's some bobbin heads.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is fun to go to places that get a little more dancey.
Uh-huh.
I wish Seattle would get dancey. I dance when I go to shows. We just gotta...
That's really a thing, right? Like, happen. I mean, it's a... You see that in other cities.
Yeah, totally. Especially, like, I just was in the South for the first time.
Right.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's like a different scene, and it really does make you feel good.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I just think, I don't know what it is up here, but I feel like people feel like me, where we're just so friggin' self-conscious up here about how we move our skeletal frames.
Yeah.
Like, you just, you know, I don't want people to see that.
Yeah.
It's just a mess. It's just a mess. Well, I used to dance in college, but it was like hippie dance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta
and
be like good now.
Fucking embarrassing. There's actually a video just surfaced around some old friends
of you
of me dancing at a hippie show.
Ah.
And I was extremely embarrassed.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, can you sync that up with an Ibu song? That'd be good. Yeah.
If I could star in one of your videos, yeah. That would be great. Yeah.
Let's get on.
Are you guys doing any music videos?
Yeah. One is finished and coming out probably next week, I want to say. It's us in Las Vegas, funnily enough.
Oh, yeah.
This guy named Justin flew down and followed us around doing Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which was interesting. It's an interesting place to be.
It is a very interesting place.
Yeah.
Had you really done that before?
No. I'd been there once, but I was just in and out. So this was the first time where I went. We did a little gambling, got some like daiquiris, walked around, took some pictures.
Like in the big, like giant.
In the boots. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, we didn't get the boots, but you know, those are a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is a thing there. It's weird.
It really is kind of a very strange place.
Yeah.
And every time I've been down there, like if you walk just a little bit off of the strip, like, and I said this to another person that we had on the show too, like once you like get away from the front of all of those really fancy buildings, it's like they're falling apart on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to like Toontown in Disneyland or something like that. It's all just a facade, right?
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
A saloon.
It's like fronts of
fake saloon
like being held up by posts,
and, right, man?
Oh yeah,
but it's really weird. It's really weird.
Yeah.
I love it though. For some reason,
I mean, that's what you're there for
to
love it,
right?
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's just excess, you know, just total excess. So
I,
is that what that video's about?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I won a Lord of the Rings slot machine, which was pretty rad.
How much did you win?
I won like $80 and then I lost 40 of it because I thought that I was going to get more.
That's how you get sucked in,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But he didn't put that in the video. I don't know why he put it in the video.
Oh, man.
Which is lame.
That would have been a great scene.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like winning a small jackpot.
Like the big drop comes and it's like Frodo's face just comes down. I don't know, maybe trademark issues or something.
Oh, that might be it right there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to have to pay those fees. Yeah, yeah.
New line?
Yeah.
No.
You guys got pretty shithouse then doing that, huh?
No, we had to play a little later, so we had to keep it relatively unshitty.
So they're just following you. It wasn't like a scripted thing. You just were just being videotaped, just having fun.
Yeah, no, literally.
In Las Vegas.
He was just like, don't mind me. Yeah. I don't know. It turned out good though, because it's not what you're thinking right now. It's because he also got some footage of us playing, and then it's this overlap with all the, like, you know, what do you call it when the lights, when you take a video of lights and then you blur them and they become the big circles, like bokeh or something?
Lens flare? Is that what that is?
No.
I don't know.
Anyways, you know what I'm talking about.
Some sort of filter.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's just like overlapped with that. It looks kind of trippy, psychedelic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
right on.
It turned out well. He did a good job with it.
Yeah. Now, how did everything come up with Barsook? How did that come about?
I think it was just one of those things where as soon as I got a new manager, Aaron Tate.
Wonderful man.
Wonderful. Wonderful. He just kind of started talking to several labels. That's, you know, nothing too original in the way that it kind of came about. I think they just liked what they heard. We had some meetings.
But that's got to be exciting, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I grew up listening to all those bands.
Yeah.
Barsook. And they're just such awesome people to work with, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, you hear so many scary stories about working with record labels and how they just want to take your money and change your music. But that's not the case with these guys at all. They're the most humbling, amazing people that I've worked with. And yeah. It's awesome.
And you're excited to have something on an actual label too? Is that still like, because the landscape has changed with music so much now.
Sure.
Like, you know, the ability to kind of put stuff out by yourself is much easier, although very costly.
Yeah.
To get, you know, physical copies of stuff. But like just being able to have the ability to put stuff out digitally, you know, is a really big thing. It's taken a lot of power away from some of these bigger labels.
Definitely.
Once again, always curious about, you know, what bands think about, you know, getting signed to an actual, you know, hard copy label, for lack of a better term. And that's got to be, you know, pretty cool.
I mean, and that's how Ebu started, was just digital
releases
without a label. I mean, that's how the Dunes EP came out. And then, I just always kind of assumed that's the way it was going to be.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I have like so much to be thankful for that being on this label now. You know, I didn't think it would pick up this fast as soon as the signing happened, but it was kind of crazy to watch. Like, there still is, I think, a huge community of people, obviously, that are just waiting for a band to get signed. I mean, mostly industry people, but then the industry do control the PR and everything, and then fundamentally just the amount of people that end up hearing the record.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think it's a testament to how listenable and how good this record is too.
Well, that's cool.
Because even after, like, I just find myself like liking it more and more. You're hearing like little things. I still haven't heard like your dad in the background swearing about the chicken in the kitchen, but I'm going to start listening for that.
Okay.
Now,
I may have exaggerated with the swearing and about the chicken, but he does do some mumbling. But yeah, no, I'm glad you're liking it more and more. It's, you know, you don't want it to go the other way.
Well, it's a very interesting record because there's a lot of layers to each song, too. There's a lot of little pieces here and there that come in and then fade out and come in and fade out.
Yeah,
and some only appear a couple times. And I haven't heard, I don't think I've heard a record like this in a long time.
Cool.
One that's really grasped my interest.
Yeah.
This solidly, you know, so... Bravo, sir.
Thank you very much. That's so good to hear.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Were you excited when you were writing these songs? Like when you were like getting towards like the final product of a lot of these recordings? Like, did you know like that this was going to be good?
Well, the interesting thing is when I was writing all these songs, they weren't written with the thought that it was going to be an album.
Uh-huh.
They were just kind of coming as individual songs. When I had all these songs and Barsuk was like, hey, record, do this, a record of these songs.
Right.
Then I kind of went back and like re-analyzed the songs and went to Los Angeles and mixed them. And that's when it started to get really exciting. And I was like, hey, these songs actually all do have a similar theme and they work together. And and then just being able to mix them all with the same engineer in the same studio obviously tied them in even more. And then we ran it through tape and that made it sound even more, you know. So now it is truly a batch of songs that belong together.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah, they kind of just fit like puzzle pieces almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what are your goals going forward?
Well, my goal this week is to put an album out, which will be fun. And then we have a few shows in Seattle, and then we're going on tour again.
Yeah. In October, right?
In October through November.
Yeah.
Full
U.S. or?
Full U.S.
Yeah.
Doing some dates with Big Frida, which
is,
going to be an eclectic bill.
That is going to be insane.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of her music videos.
It's
going to be fun. But I mean, she opened for the Postal Service
a few years back.
Yeah, I think that bills are getting more and more eclectic, and I think people are being able to just kind of open their mind a little bit more at shows, which is cool, just from what I've seen.
I love seeing that, by the way. Like people who aren't, who are no longer kind of putting a stigma on liking different types of music.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that used to be a freaking thing, especially here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s. Like, if you said you liked, you know, country music or something like that, you were vilified, almost.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird. But yeah. I think it's a great thing. People are kind of coming out of their shell and just being like, yeah, we like all different types,
man. Absolutely, yeah. And of course, there's still going to be a vibe sometimes, right? We're like, if you go to a Big Frida concert, there's going to be a lot of people there that aren't there to listen to music, but are there to take E and dance.
right.
So they'll have to deal with some indie
and
pop
twerk
for a little bit, yeah.
You're going to see a lot of twerking on this
tour. We're
going to
see a lot of weird stuff for sure. Yeah. But then we're coming back and doing some dates with Elvi, who's that? It's the Nationals' new thing.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably going to be way toned down.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And that'll be fun.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to seeing what you do in the future, and best of luck.
Thank you very much. Man. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and maybe sometime when you have more time, we'll get you back in here.
Absolutely.
Have another chat.
Yeah, man, my pleasure.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, man. Thanks.
Peace.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. Peter of the band Ebu. Well, he basically is the band Ebu. Dude, I am just so impressed with this guy. God dang it, right? I mean, I don't know what it is about this album, man. I cannot stop playing it over and over and over. And like I said, I keep on finding new things in each song that I just absolutely love. Little sounds here and there that are just vying for my attention. And I love it. I absolutely love it. It's the best parts of, the 21st century pop and 80s music. 80s music. I think that's what it is. It's nostalgia for me. You guys see me get excited about other albums, right? But this one just feels different. Just totally feels different. It's right up my alley, man. I just absolutely love it. Once again, it's coming out September 18th, this Friday, on Barsook Records. Also, you can find them shows coming up. The Ritz in Raleigh, North Carolina on October 2nd. October 20th, House of Blues in New Orleans. October 21st, House of Blues in Houston, Texas. Let's click on that button. 22nd at House of Blues in Dallas, Texas. 25th of October, Revolution Live, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And October 29th at Theater of the Living Arts in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then more and more coming down the pike, okay? So go check them out on tour, that whole thing, all right? And get yourself a copy of that amazing album. All right. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. We are available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, or just visit our website, air-raid.net, to subscribe directly to our RSS feed, and you can also find the archives page there. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheAirRaid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @AirRaidNet, or email me directly, aaron@air-raid.net. And take the pledge, people. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your sister, your brother. Sign them up when they aren't looking. All right? There you go. We're going to go out today. This song is called Hideaway. Dance your little butts off, people, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.